You know, on this show, we're always on the lookout for crossovers between music and science. But this next story might be the most surprising one yet. Here's why. What does this performance from death metal vocalist Phil Bozeman have in common with this bat call? Now, both sounds are created nearly the same way. Both humans and bats can use their ventricle folds, or false vocal cords, to extend their vocal ranges to hit a lower register. But get this, when a bat does it, its vocal range expands to 7 octaves. Humans typically tap out about 3 to 4, and even people with some of the most impressive vocal ranges, talking about you, Mariah Carey, well, they just can't compete with a bat. But how and why do bats need to hit both the high and low notes? Joining me now to help answer those questions and more is my guest, Cohen Ellemans, professor in bioacoustics and animal behavior at the University of Southern Denmark, based in Odense, Denmark. Dr. Ellemans, welcome to Science Friday.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nice to have you. Okay, let's get right into this. Bats are typically known for hitting their high notes. We all know that, for using echolocation to catch and find prey in the dark. Now, you looked at both this high and low in frequencies. And how exactly do bats make such a wide range of sounds?
Yeah, so we were at first interested in how bats make their echolocation calls. And it was known that they have some adaptations in their larynx. And particularly on the vocal folds, they have some really thin membranes that extend up. And the idea is that they use these structures to oscillate very fast and make these very high frequency echolocation calls. Now, that we set out to measure, and we basically studied in an excise prep of the larynx how how these structures can oscillate. And we showed that these structures actually generate these high frequencies. So we established that for the first time. We did that by really high-speed videos that we could film up to 250,000 frames per second under very controlled conditions. And then we could outline the edges of these vocal membranes very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So that explained how they make these very high-frequency calls. But while we were doing this, we saw there's another set of vocal folds slightly above the normal vocal folds, called the false vocal folds, as you mentioned. And we can get those oscillate very nicely, but at very low frequencies. So let's say 1 kilohertz. And we noted that they probably make these lower frequency calls that bats use for communication purposes.
And this is the same way that death metal singers do it?
Yeah, so ventricular folds or false vocal folds are called false vocal folds because in normal human speech, they're not used. And that's why they're called false vocal folds. But they are used in lots of musical expressions. And I've been really diving into a lot of it in the last weeks. One very predominant one is all the death metal singers, but also Tuvan throat singers and other local tribes are able to use ventricular folds for singing.
In case our listeners missed it the first time, let's listen to an echolocation call and then a low frequency call. That is amazing. Tell us why and when do bats make these low frequency calls? What are they trying to communicate with each other?
So we know they make them in context of when they fly out of a colony or come back into the colony. This, what you just heard, is slowed down quite a lot. And the sounds are around 3 to 4 or 5 kilohertz. So to us, it still sounds very squeaky. But these animals are very small, right? A bat weighs, like they say, 20 grams or so. So these high frequency sounds for them are still very relatively low frequency. They make them in the context of going in and out of a roost, but what they actually mean, we don't really know. It's very tempting to interpret it as some sort of annoyance call because that's how it sounds to us. But we actually don't really know if they're contact calls or indeed these more aggressive agonistic calls.
So you can't really tell what they're for. I mean, are they like cats purring?
No, really not. What we think is that cats purr by moving their vocal folds actively using muscle action in and out of the vocal tract. And this is not. This is a passive motion of false vocal folds like we do when death metal grunting.
Well, when you say false vocal cords, why do you call them that?
So in normal human speech, we don't use these these set of vocal folds, and that's why they're called false vocal folds. But in animals, we know now that at least bats use them. There's also some evidence that maybe pigs use them during squealing, but there's not been so much focus on the function of these false vocal folds.
This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. And how do you physically study these vocal cord vibrations?
Yeah, so this is really complicated to do in live animals that are basically the size of your thumb. So what we do is to actually study tissue. So we study the extracted larynx from these animals under the microscope. And then we can give it lots of light and we can mount cameras on top of the microscope and see in great detail how different structures are moving and oscillating.
Cool. I want to talk a little more about echolocation, something we're more familiar with. Mm-hmm. And in order to make these high frequency sounds, would sound kind of like a series of clicks. How do they do that? How do the muscles need to move? I mean, they've got to move really fast, right?
What we think is that during these very fast frequency sweeps that a lot of bats do, not all bats, but a lot of bats do, the length of the vocal folds is rapidly changing. And it basically goes typically from high frequency to low frequency. And what we think is that the vocal folds go from very stretched to unstretched. And that generates the lower frequencies. Now, to make a call, they basically do that during muscle relaxation of the muscle that changes the frequency of the tension in these membranes. So to make calls very rapidly, what they need to do to be able to catch prey, they need to actually move these muscles very fastly. And a few years ago, we also showed that bats basically can produce these calls because they have amazingly fast muscles, the fastest we found in any mammal. But it also limits to how fast they can actually produce these calls. And we see that brown bats that you typically have in North America can produce calls up to about 200 times a second.
Wow. I know that bats, as I say, have bested humans in terms of vocal range. Could there be other animals who have similarly staggering vocal ranges?
There are definitely animals that have such staggering vocal ranges. And I think I just haven't had those glasses on too long. But for example, if you look at killer whales or so, they can also produce frequency ranges that are spectacular, from very low repetition rates during echolocation calls up to 80 kilohertz, very similar to bats. But that's an animal that weighs tons, is 9 meters long. So there's completely different set of constraints and probably super interesting things going on.
You ever think you might study whales?
Oh, we've done that, actually.
Yeah?
It's coming out in March.
Huh. Getting back to bats, why did you decide to study the bats to begin with?
So bat echolocation is interesting for many reasons. One of them is that we're interested in how these animals process these echoes, for example. So how are they able to catch prey in complete darkness? The best sonar systems we have are still outcompeted by what bats can do and by what dolphins can do, for example. So there's a lot to learn in the design and also processing of these echolocation signals.
Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of press for this study since it came out. People are really excited. Why do you think this resonates so much with people?
I think it's always interesting to demonstrate parallels between human voice and animal voices because we use our voice all the time, right? It's a complete key element in our communication. And so it's very easy to relate to. It's very easy to relate how you would produce sounds because we're all able to make all these different sounds. It's just that, of course, Mariah Carey or other extreme vocalists are really good at it. But we can all. We're all able to some extent have a stab at it.
You told me you're going to be studying whales and it's coming out in March. Can you give us a little preview?
No.
No hesitancy about that at all. Well, I want to thank you then. We'll have to wait and have you back when this comes out.
It would be great. I would love to.
All right. It's a deal. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Cohen Ellemanns, professor in bioacoustics and animal behavior at the University of Southern Denmark, based in Odense, Denmark.